Yaakov, Maal Cheshvan, Thursday the 17th of November, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Nerach Lo La'odom.
So the Gemara in Erevin brings Machlekes, Erevin Yudgimel on base. Tana Bala, Shtei Shalim Mechza, for 2.5 years, Nechleku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. 2.5 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a Machlekes. Halala Omrim Nerach Lo La'odom Shlo Nivra. One group said it would be better for a person that had humanity not been created, Yoser Mishnivra, more than the fact that he had been created. Preferential had humanity not been created. It's better that the person had been created, Yoser Mishlonivra, that was preferential over the other option of not being created. So Beshamay are those who maintain Noachul Adam Shnivra, that the preferential is the fact that Hashem created, over and above the alternative, and basically say the other way around. Nimnu v'gomru. Here, over here, interesting lashon. Nimnu, they calculated and they concluded there was some kind of consensus. Noach to l'adam shlo nivra. Better had humanity not been created, nearest the mishnivra, more than the option of creation. Which isn't, on the first sight, a very optimistic view on life. We'll come back to that. Ashav shenivra. Now that humanity has been created, yafashpesh for myself, amrino yamashpesh for myself. Where itself brings two versions of what the final conclusion was. Some say fashvish myself, they should analyze their actions in mashvish myself, other forms of really looking with particularity at what goes on. That's the very well known Gemara, Mamre Beisela Beshamai. Hopefully, try and unravel it a little bit as best we can. First of all, to know the Tosafos over here are Sakasha from the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Hey Amud Aleph, which I didn't bring. The Gemara there discusses, the ancient Gemara, that talks about the fact that we owe Hakoros HaTov to the generation of the Egel for the fact that they sinned. We owe Hakoros HaTov to the generation of the Egel for the fact that they sinned. The Gemara says, because had they not sinned, then we would not have been created. The Gemara brings over there a Lashon, that had they not sinned, then they would have remained on such a sublime level, almost like Malachim, and it seems they may not have engaged in Pur Revu, that's Gemara's initial reaction, and therefore, we would never have been created. The Gemara then goes through a whole analysis, what do you mean? There's a mitzvah of Pur Revu. But that's the Gemara's initial kasha. And therefore, we ought to have our Koros HaTov, we ought to express a certain thank for the fact that they sinned. Because they sinned, and therefore their Madrega dropped, they retained more of a connection with the human world as we know it, and thus we owe their fact that they sinned something. Now, leaving aside, we'll come back to how the Gemara concludes over there. The Tosafos asks, there seems to be a direct contradiction to our Gemara over here. If it's bad news that we have been created, then why ought to we feel a sense of gratitude for the fact that they enabled our creation? On the contrary, we ought to say, you know what, a bit of a shame that they sinned. Had they not sinned, we would never have been created, and therefore, the Lord never. As a fact, Tosafos. So Tosafos, both here and Avodah Zorah, gives the same to us in. But the conclusion of the Gemara there is actually different. Conclusion of the Gemara means as follows. It's not the fact, the Gemara says as follows. It doesn't mean they wouldn't have been Osir Pur Revu. It means they would have lived forever. They would have lived forever. That generation that stood at Har Sinai would have lived forever. I'm not clear actually whether the Gemara brings that future generations would have done as well. I'm not sure. But that generation would have lived forever. And those who were born subsequently, it would have felt as though their lives were less significant compared to those who had stood at Har Sinai. That's how the Gemara concludes. It's Kami Shalo Nivra. That's what it means. We would have felt as though our lives didn't parallel the significance of their lives had they not sinned. Because they sinned, so we don't feel that disparity between the generations, because they didn't live forever. So therefore the conclusion of the Gemara is that, no, we're not talking about, we don't thank them for a fact of our creation. We would have been created anyway, no question about it. So therefore the conclusion of the Gemara, says Tosafos, is consistent with our Gemara, because we don't thank them for the fact of creation. We thank them for the fact that they did not live forever, and therefore there wouldn't have been this great disparity or sense of less worth on our part compared to them. So the conclusion is consistent. I suppose it's kasha. If we're thanking for the fact of creation, no, we're not thanking for that creation. We're thanking for the fact we would have been created anyway. We're thanking them for the fact that they sinned and didn't live forever, and therefore we don't feel inadequate in that respect. That's the Torah's Tosafos brings over there. The other Torah he brings is that it could be, it depends who you're talking about. There's no question about it. A person who's a tzaddik who lives their lives righteously and with meaning, then of course we celebrate life. But the whole issue now, Gemara is going to explain, is when a person does more damage than good. When a person causes more harm than positivity. That's what the issue is over here. So maybe the Gemara over there is talking about the tzaddikim will thank that generation that they had a chance to exist and come into the world. That's just Tosfos over there. Let's take a step further back and ask ourselves, where does this whole debate come from? Where does it come from? I mean, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or at the end of the week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and that was his intention. So where does this whole debate come from? So I noticed, which is what started off this whole Inyan, in Titan Emes Liyakov, Miyakov Kamenetsky, he suggests, B'derek Esher, the debate actually starts mamish in Parshas Bereishis. Then the Parshas Bereishis, it says, V'yarad Akim Es Kodosh Ha'osa V'nei Toiv Ma'ot. As it happens, it does not designate the term Toiv with reference to Adam. Every other creature, V'yarakim Ki Toiv, V'yarakim Ki Toiv, with Adam HaRishon does not say the words Ki Toiv specifically. It is true, and we'll come back to it, the fact that V'nei Toiv Ma'od, Ma'od is the same osios as Adam. Mem Aleph Dalet, the same osios as Adam. But there's no explicit or specific designation of the complement Toiv with reference to Adam. Rambam Kamenetsky says that, brings the Rambam. The Rambam, beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Vayarakim, Vayarakim is the Orkitov. Shem saw the light that was good. So Rashi brings, what does it mean Vayarakim is Orkitov? Rashi brings, then you saw the light was better for the Tzadikim and not for this world. The Rambam notes that actually, light wasn't the only thing created on day one. On day one you have what appears to be the initial creation of Shemayim Boretz. And here as well, there's no specific designation of Shemayim Boretz. So Ramban says, the Lashon Amira in Maisa Bereishis is the Lashon that brings something into existence. The Lashon Vayar, and God then looks at it, Hashem looks at it, is the Lashon that endorses its existence. It endorses it's good, it's part of creation, it's supposed to be, it'll be, have a kiyum. Amira is the actual creation, and the Vayar, the Ria, is the endorsement of the creation. Says the Ramban, that actually on day one, Shemayim V'aretz were in a very virgin state. There is so much more to come, to be developed from Shemayim V'aretz, as we see in the subsequent days. But it wasn't yet appropriate to endorse the creation of Shemayim V'aretz on day one. Light could be endorsed, that light, whatever that first light was finished, completely endorsed, but not Shemayim V'aretz, there was still much more that was to happen, the development of Shemayim V'aretz. So Rabbi Kamenetsky says it could be, same sort of thing that comes to Adam. Because Adam is a Baal Bechira, and therefore, it's actually interesting in Sittin Emes Yaakov, two versions of the way that he said it, and therefore, one version is that he could choose negatively. His existence is not guaranteed. His existence is not completely, can't be endorsed completely. That's why it does not say specifically to Adam, V'yarakim Kitov. Because it's not an existence that is guaranteed. As a Baal Bechira, he could mess the whole thing up, as we see in the Dora Mabel and Dora Flogger. It could all be undermined. Or, slightly differently, because he is a Baal Bechira and can choose negatively, and can bring a Ra into the world, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't absolutely endorse the creation of Adam. But Riachim Kamenetsky says maybe this is the Makar for our Gemara. This, what should we say, ambivalence at the end of Maaseh Bereishis, but how we're supposed to view the creation of Adam, maybe it's that ambivalence that generates or triggers this whole discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Edom. Was it a good idea? Was it not a good idea? In retrospect, ahead of time, how do we look at it? That's the Makar for the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Edom. Now let's see three or four different ways of looking at Beis Shammai and Beis Edom. Very interesting, the Maharsha, actually for reference, in Eruvin, the Maharsha says that he has long comments on this at the end of Perek Beis in Makkos. So I had quite a good look in the Perek Beis in Makkos, no reference to Maharsha at all, no reference to Maharsha, it's actually in the Perek Gimel in Makkos. Maybe in these new fancy Gemaras, I don't know if it's actually got down to me, my gear, reference to the Maharsha as well, I don't know. But anyway, for your own reference, it's in the Perek Gimel in Makkos. And then the Maharsha, the Gemara in Makkos, the whole Gemara about Bar Dov of Hamidun Alachas Asrei, the whole Gemara over there about whether we can, what's the concertina, the key concepts of Yiddishkeit into a lesser number. Well, that's not really our Gemara over there. But in that Gemara, the Maharsha brings his analysis of the Gemara in Erevik. It says as follows, very beautifully. He firstly asks very specific kashas on the Gemara. What's the Lashon Yosem Misha Nivra? Vaisachos, in each tzad there is a calculation. Again, the Gemara says, Noach ben Adam shlo nivra. It was better had he not been created as the first set of Shammai. Yosef mishnivra. Over and above the prospect of creation. Kasha number one. Kasha number two, nimnu v'gomru. This lashon nimnu v'gomru. Some kind of calculation. Kasha number three asks, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've asked already, created Adam, and therefore, it seems, how can you question whether it was a positive idea or not? So he says very beautifully as follows, that really, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, we know that we have 613 mitzvahs. We have 365 negative and 248 positive. Mitzvahs I say, mitzvahs less I say. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, actually, they don't split in this way. Interesting way he puts it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is total unity, and therefore everything is really just the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's achdus. And that's the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no real calculation of mitzvahs by Bnei Hashem. It's us, when it becomes into our world, when it becomes part of our existence, that we compartmentalize it in that particular way. In the world of Hashem, from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's only two mitzvahs, Anochi and Lo Yiyeh. And really everything is Anochi. Everything is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lichvod Yivarosiv, everything is to bring Kavod Shemayim into the world, and therefore all of the positive mitzvahs really are manifestations of Anochi. And all of the negative, and the negative is only the counterpart of the positive, are manifestations of the Lavim and the Torah. From a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, there isn't really 613 mitzvahs. There's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to bring Kavod Shemayim into the world and to avoid anything that may denigrate Kavod Shemayim in the world. But the way that we work with the mitzvahs is we do have the positives and the negatives. So it's interesting because there are more negatives than positives. In the 365 Lavim and 248, I say more negatives than positives. Now if we're very clinical about this and we look at this very mathematically, so is there more prospect of causing damage or more prospect of doing good? If a human being had not been created, they couldn't have been over any of the Shasa Lavim. They couldn't have been over any of the negatives at all. And if they have been created, they can be over them. It's true they can also do the Asiyin, but it seems that life is more fraught with the possibilities of danger than it is with the prospects of success. They're on a purely simple calculation. Therefore, as I said, the follows, that's the Lashon of Yoser in the Gemara. It's a calculation over here. Let's be very clinical about it. This is a calculation. Is it better to create or not to create? Well, hang on a second. There's more negatives than positive. So therefore, you're going to cause less damage by Sheva Al Tasa, by not creating. Better leave them as they are somewhere in the Shemayim. Don't bring them into the world to cause all the damage that unfortunately human beings do cause. So therefore, the first view is, no, listen, better they had not been created, because then at least no damage is caused. The second view is, no, they should be created, at least they can bring Kavod Shemayim into the world that should be created. Nimnu v'gomru. They calculated. They made a calculation. They split the mitzvahs into the categories of mitzvahs. And they calculated, you know what, you're right. There are more negatives and positives, more prospects of damage than success. Better, they shouldn't. Achshav shenivru. Now they've been created, let them do. Let them at least, let them be active, let them be proactive, let them be determined to bring Kedusha into the world. Hence the... Yeah. But very beautifully, the Maharshal says, if I've understood him correctly, that that's from the human perspective. From a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it doesn't work that way. As we said, from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, there aren't 365 and 248. There's really only two, and even number two is only the counterpart of number one. One mitzvah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, bring Kavod Shemayim into the world. Lo Yiyeh is simply to protect and to fence that first of the Tzivuyim. Then from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, Avada is Noach Lo, the Adam, because the first one is what drives it all. There isn't calculations over here. The first one is what drives the whole system and the whole prospect and the whole motivation of creation. And the second one, as I say, is to protect the first one. But ultimately, that one comes first, and therefore, says the Maharshal, we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, we understand why they, in their calculations, decided that perhaps it was a dangerous prospect, and came up with Nimnu v'gomru, the conclusion they came up with. I want to share with you two more ideas on this. One is actually in Ari Yisrael, in Kod for Yar, of Mishra Salanta. It brings in Maimon Chaf Gimel. I have to bring this in because it's actually a reference to Hanukkah. So it's getting close enough to Hanukkah, almost. Wasn't close enough to give a Hanukkah shir, but anyway, to bring a reference to Hanukkah we can do. Gemara in Shabbos by Hanukkah, see, ask the Kasha, which we all are very well known Kasha. Why is it on Hanukkah there's no din of Mishnah? Right? On Purim there's a din of Mishnah, on Hanukkah there's no din of Mishnah. So within this whole Maimah, just an extract, he brings our Maimah, and he says that really, if we think about this very dispassionately, very impartially, we could ask ourselves, well, hang on a second, given this analysis that it's dangerous to walk on the planet, is it better to be alive or not? When we celebrate a Chag that is a celebration of the salvation of our Ruchnius and our Gashmius, how do we compare those the two? If it's simply a celebration of the fact we survive physically, is that something we should celebrate, if you like, at a purely philosophical level? About it at a physical level, of course we do. Philosophical level or not. But it might depend on how you view the conclusion in this Gemara. Because if we say, well, hang on a second, it's dangerous to be alive, and therefore, maybe at a purely philosophical level, that's not the focus of our celebration. That's not the focus of our celebration. So Purim, so therefore, Avadim also says, Al Pi Seichel, maybe we shouldn't celebrate the physical aspects, because of the dangers inherent in that. But Purim, he says, is essentially a physical festival. The salvation was physical. Salvation was Gufani. Avada, there was also a Ruchani component. Of course there was. But that Ruchani component has got to be understood by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us on this world. And for the tzaddikim, for people who live their lives in a way that's meaningful, then we understand the gift of that in a Ruchani component. But Hanukkah was purely Ruchani. There was no attack on the Guf. We know that they didn't have to give up the Guf. There was no attack on the Guf. It was purely Ruchni. Therefore, on Hanukkah, he says, in other words, the Mishnah on Purim is, if I've understood him correctly, partly a concession to those who see our existence on this world as a celebration. It's partly a concession to that. And also to the tzaddikim are going to utilize their lives properly. But otherwise, at a purely philosophical, a clinical level, dispassionate level, we might argue that isn't something to celebrate in the way that we sometimes do. Okay. The main thing I want to share with you is Rav Hutner's analysis of this tomorrow. And I don't mind saying that whenever I share Rav Hutner, I always wonder if I'm being presumptuous in my feelings that I've understood it thoroughly, but it's a beautiful analysis of this tomorrow. Gemara, it says as follows. When the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Tshuva the idea of Bechira, free choice. So the Rambam brings a Makar for free choice. What's a Makar for free choice? The Makar for free choice is in Parshas Nitzavim, when it says, Hinei, Rei, Nosati Nefanecha, Yom Esachayim Esatoiv, Esamob Esvesara. So although we know we have free choice, we feel we have free choice, we feel that nothing compels our compliance, but ultimately, says Rambam, the Makar for it is Parshas Nitzavim, Esachayim Esatoiv, Esamob Esvesara. Now, that means that if we're defining free choice, we're sourcing free choice if it's possible. It means free choice itself defines life. It's a chayim. We're calling free choice life itself. That's what it is. Life without choice is meaningless life. The very first hours that human beings walk the earth, they have the choice. It's choice that gives life meaning. Without choice, life loses a lot of its real meaning. Now, what's interesting is, of course, and that free choice is Bechira. And what differentiates us from the animal world is our ability to make meaningful choices. As I said somewhere recently, you know, the most sophisticated animal cannot make a meaningful choice. Right? After 3 days of Yom Tov, on the Sunday, someone offers you a fish meal, then you know, after 3 days of Yom Tov, a human being was saying, you know what, I just couldn't look at another piece of chicken. The most sophisticated dog, after 3 days of Yom Tov, will not turn his nose up at another piece of chicken. Right? Driving past some of the restaurants on the day after Yom Tov, it seems some of us have difficulty as well. But in essence, an animal cannot make meaningful choices. Only a human being can make meaningful choices, choices that make a difference at a moral level, at a spiritual level. So free choice defines us as human beings. But when the Gemara talks about free choice, Marim Brochas, it says, HaKol B'nei Shemayim Chutz Miyirah Shemayim. HaKol B'nei Shemayim Chutz Miyirah Shemayim. That means that much of our lives are preordained, apart from our spiritual choices. There's no compulsion. There we have absolute free will. But it's interesting that really the Gemara could have phrased itself a different way. Instead of saying HaKol B'nei Shemayim Chutz Miyirah Shemayim, it could have said HaKol B'nei Shemayim Chutz Me'avas Hashem, in the positive rather than the negative. But we find that when free choice is summarized or captured, it's always chutz miyirah shemayim rather than chutz miyavas Hashem. So, Freit Rav Hutna, what is this? Why don't we phrase it in the positive rather than the negative? Why don't we phrase it in reference to yirah rather than to hada? So, it suggests as follows. Sometimes we have a certain, what's the word? Again, ambivalence with reference to the fact of choice. You know, sometimes, what is the difference between ava and yirah? Ava is a deep sense of a person's responsibility. You feel the awe, you feel the responsibility. Yirah is a deep sense of a person's responsibility. You feel the awe, you feel that. Ava could be defined much more as the assay, the opportunity to do. Yirah is where we stand back. Ava is where we move forward. Stand back out of awe, out of respect, out of deference, out of reverence. But yirah is that, and ava is where we move forward. Sometimes, in life's decisions, those two things collide. We feel a sense of opportunity and responsibility, a sense of Abba and a sense of Europe. Let's imagine that a person is going for a job interview, or a person is got some major business enterprise, and there's part of you thinks to yourself, oh, I wish it was next week, oh, the stress is terrible, I can't stand anymore, I can't sleep anymore. That's the Euro aspect, when we feel the trepidation of it. On the other hand, if it's an important opportunity, a person realises, you know, Baruch Hashem, I have this opportunity, and there's part of us that celebrates that. So it's important, in a way, that's how we should view fate. There's part of us that would like a world without fate. Halavai, there's no nisyonos of Lashon Hara, or the nisyonos that we have. Not suggesting anybody here suffers from those nisyonos, but halavai, there's no nisyonos of Lashon Hara. On the other hand, we recognise that without those nisyonos, life loses meaning. Without those nisyonos, there's nothing that, that moves us forward in any way. That stira, says Rav Hortner, is not a stira. If you see that, that's not a stira. That stira is called life. That's what it is. That very contradiction between the av and the ir is life itself. That is chayim. That is bechira. That is itself. That is what life is all about. To be able to face that stira, to recognise that stira, to move forward with that stira. The question is, if you have to focus on one of those two motivations, Ava and Yira, which of those two motivations should we focus on in terms of moving us forward in life? Should we focus on the motivation of Ava or the motivation of Yira? Should we focus on the responsibility or should we focus on the opportunity? Says Rav Hutner, that is the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's not a kind of existential machlokas about whether we should be created or not created. That's his pshat. It's a machlokas is, when we're thinking about this struggle within Bechira, do we focus on the Ava aspect, do we focus on the Yira aspect? What's more important to focus on? Nimna v'gomru, interesting enough, that actually you have to focus on the Yira aspect. Because unless you really appreciate the sense of responsibility that it has to be given the gift of life, you'll never really appreciate the opportunity that it is. Unless you understand the awesome nature of it, we'll never really appreciate the opportunity life presents. It brings a story, which I've heard this, actually doesn't name the God with this story, but I've heard this story referenced to several Gedolim, and I once heard it referenced from Kiva Eger, that he had a Talmud, who was Roy Lahara, a Talmud that was, and he wanted to try and persuade his Talmud to take on a shtetl of some sort. And the Talmud, for some reason, didn't want to become a rabbi, for some strange reason, but the Talmud was resisting. And eventually Kiva Eger said to him, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you taking this? So he says to him, because I'm nervous to Paschal. I'm nervous to pass him to give up Psach HaLocha to represent Kodesh Baruch. I'm nervous. So Mekhi Be'egah said to him, what do you want me to do? Appoint somebody who's not nervous to pass him? Mm-hmm. If he's not nervous to pass him, it means he doesn't have appreciation of what it's all about to be able to give up Psach HaLocha. If he's not nervous, then that's not a person I'm going to appoint. It's only if a person feels the responsibility that they really appreciate the opportunity that it is. Without an appreciation of the Yira, you can't really have any sense of the opportunity of the Abba. Therefore, Nimna v'gomru, that's Pshat in this Gemara here. Nimna v'gomru, the person should focus on Mishalo Nivra. The fact that if you're given a life, it's fraught with dangers. It's fraught with, challenges. It's fraught with nisyonos. If you realize that, then you understand what life is all about. You really understand the value and the appreciation of life is all about. Then you can move forward. If I fish with myself, if I fish with myself, then you have the wherewithal to analyze what life is all about. Interestingly, he says, in the same parasha Bereishis, he actually says, no, the end of the parasha, when it says, "Renei Toiv Ma'od," is a reference to Adam. Toiv Ma'od, Osios Adam. And he says, on the contrary, it's only with reference to Adam that we have this fantastic endorsement. What differentiates the human kingdom from the animal kingdom? The fact that there's even a question, our life is so important and so fraught both with danger and opportunity, there's a question as to whether it should have been brought into existence at all. That question itself demonstrates how important life is. There's no question about whether Hashem should have created the Indian elephant or the African elephant or the sheep, but there's no question about that at all. Because it's the question that demonstrates the value that the gift of life is. It is that very question that gives that to us. And therefore, on the contrary, Toiv Ma'od, when it comes to Adam, it's that question that earns Adam the right to this final endorsement of Toiv Ma'od. And that, therefore, the very shot in this tomorrow over here, in terms of Nerach Adam or not. But the just to add one small Hosafa, which is in Pirkei Avos, we have Antignus Yisrocher, the whole about Al Tikar Vodem Shemesh Rav Nasa Kavapras, The Maran over there asks on that whole analysis of that Gemara that's all phrased again. Why isn't it phrased Loshon Abba? It says don't serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu for reward. One of Maran's questions over there is, but why does it not state serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Abba? Why is it on the negative rather than the positive? He gives various other choices over there. It could be that the Hutna will answer this question as well. That yes, it's actually true that if we really understand what it means to be given a day, it begins with a life, chaim, only if we understand that our movements have such significance, only then can we understand also the opportunities that life itself presents.